So this story, it kind of goes along with what we were talking about with Jesus. But it's an interesting story. Like I said, it's all three of the Gospels. I'm going to read from Mark because I think he includes, but I'll share that with you. So Jesus goes to see the Gadarenes. And he goes to the town of Gadara, which is the largest city. Now, Decapolis is a group of 10 cities on the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire. And this is what it's based on: language, culture, location, and political status. So Jesus goes there. Now, when you read Matthew mentions that there's two possessed men. We're going to get to the story in a minute, but I just want to tell you. He talks about there being two possessed men. Now, he's the only one that mentions that. Luke and Mark only mention one man. Amen? That's not a contra... You know, it's not... I'll get into that. Now, Matthew does not include that the man healed desires to stay with Jesus. When we read this story, for some reason, when Matthew writes the story about this, he doesn't include the fact that the man that Jesus heals wants to be with him, wants to stay with him. And Luke mentions that the man wore no clothes. For some reason, the other ones didn't mention that when they start the story. As we read the story, we're going to read from Mark. So let me tell you, Luke writes that Jesus, this is wonderful, because these people didn't know him and they didn't know of him, not like in Galilee where everybody was coming to see him because he was healing people, and they were all, these people didn't know him, they didn't know of him. So when he talks to this man and heals this man, and in Luke, Jesus calls himself, are you ready? I love this. He calls himself God. He doesn't do that anywhere else, but he calls himself to them God. And Mark, when he writes, and we'll read it later, in the same story, Mark says he called himself Lord. And to me, when you miss that, you see that. He knows that these people don't know him. So he's telling this man who he is. You notice he didn't tell anybody that he was the Son of God when he was preaching in the synagogues. They said, who is this man? But he tells them that. Hallelujah. And when we talk about the swine, we're going to read about the swine. The swine is a symbol of gross uncleanliness. That animal is considered gross uncleanliness. Hallelujah. Are you all with me? So now that you know the story, let's read it together. Let's enjoy it together. And there'll be some stuff in here that hopefully you'll enjoy as much as I do. Mark. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Wow. Whew. I don't want to be this guy. But obviously, the local people knew about him, amen? And you say, Pastor, how's that? Because they shackled him with what? Chains. So the local people saw this crazy guy running around screaming, cutting himself, and they tried to put chains on him and shackle him. And he lived where? In the tombs. He lived away from everybody. He lived in the cemetery. He didn't have a house. Nobody welcomed him in their home. Nobody tried to take care of him. They put him in shackles and chains, and because he was demon-possessed, he had this unnatural strength, and he would break the chains and break the bonds. So they knew that he was there, amen? They knew about this man. He was very... Well, I say, like somebody that you know really well, amen? They knew him, right? Recognizable, thank you. I love this. This is verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. I want to say that this is where sometimes we can have a wonderful Bible discussion. Because when I read that, he said, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. The man inside had some strength. He was still a man. He saw Jesus, and whatever it was, he went and worshipped him. Not the demons, because the demons aren't going to worship him. Amen? So I want to think that for that second, that this man, this demon-possessed man, has some sense about him. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And then it said, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Hallelujah. So the demon is saying, right away he recognizes who Jesus is. He sees him. He knows who he is, right? A demon said that. And he said, don't torment me. What is he talking about? Well, there's only one place for demons to go, amen? It's to the abyss. That's where they're going. They have one road, and that's the only road they're going to take. When Jesus comes back, they're all going into the abyss. All the fallen angels are going to fall off into an abyss, and they know that. He's saying, don't torture me now. Don't come here and torture me. Why are you going to do that? And notice that the demons knows that. And notice also that Jesus never argues with a demon. He never says over and over again. He just tells it like it is. And greater is he who is in where? You. That's what I was just reading before. You see how this is coming together? Greater is he that Jesus lives in you. You have the same power over demons. Amen? You have the same power over these evil things that happen in the world. Because God lives inside of you. Give him praise, church. Come on. Yes. Oh, yeah. So Matthew said there's two demon-possessed men. Mark and Luke say there's only one. What is the discrepancy? Here's what I think. This is only my opinion. This is where we can have a wonderful conversation. I believe that only one of the demons speaks. I believe one of the men speaks. So Matthew didn't, Mark and Luke didn't think it important to mention the other man. That's what I'm feeling, because Jesus only speaks to one of the demon-possessed men, but Matthew seemed to say there were two of them, which doesn't change the story at all. I mean, it doesn't change what happened at all, but some people can say, why the discrepancy? So I'm thinking that maybe Mark and Luke just thought it important enough to say who he talked to and who talked to God. Amen? But those are the wonderful Bible studies we can have and Bible conversations. Hallelujah. He said when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, I don't know if you'll want to agree with me. That'll be fun to talk about later. But I think that the man was in his right mind for just a minute, and he went to worship God. And then it said he cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. He just said, don't, you know. So for he said to him, Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then Jesus asked, what is your name? Understand this, he knew. God doesn't ask questions that he doesn't know the answer to. Can I have an amen? But sometimes he needed to hear it. The man needed to hear it. Other people needed to understand it. And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, the word Legion means that there were several thousand demons inside this man. That's what he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Which means that Jesus understood that this man wasn't possessed by one, two, three, or four. He was possessed by thousands of demons living in this man. So again, notice only one man spoke. So maybe that's why Mark and Luke decided to only write about one man. Amen? I love that. Come out of that man, unclean spirit. Then he asked, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Notice this, folks. Greater is he that is in you, that is in this world. And notice what the demon did. What did he do? He begged him. He wasn't so pompous anymore. He wasn't so powerful. He wasn't so scary. He was begging Jesus. And that's what happens with us. We need to understand the strength that you have and the power that you have and the glory inside of you. He answered and said that. And he said, I beg you that he would not send them out of the country. What do you mean? He was very content. The demons were very content to be inside that man, running around every day and causing all this man's pain and anguish because there was no place else for him to go. So he said, don't out of this country. I like it here is kind of what he was saying. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And as I mentioned earlier, what is a swine? It's a symbol of gross uncleanliness. It's a very unclean animal. They see the swine, and they're looking at Jesus and said, I don't want to go to the abyss. I don't want. Hey, see those large number of swine were feeding near the mountains? So all the demons, how many of them? All of them begged Jesus. And what did they do? They begged him. Said, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Thank you, Lord. Did the demons drown in the sea? Did they run the pigs into the swine into the sea? No. How could that have happened? And Brother Howe, Mr. Howe, Uncle Jimmy, you know about cows and stampeding, right? When one gets started and two gets started, the rest of them follow. When the demons entered the swine, they got excited. They got nervous. They got like any other animal would do. And they started to do what? Run. Did the demons lead them there? No. Did the swine lead them there? No. But they got scared and they started to run as a stampede. And they all went in one direction. And when they got to the cliff, what happened? They all did what? They all fell off. Hallelujah. So that's another thing we can, some people have a different thought about. Maybe they thought the demons made them go, but I don't believe so. I believe that just because they entered the swine and they made all that stuff and the animals got all excited and all nervous and crazy and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They didn't run calmly, they ran violently and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that they had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Hallelujah. And they were afraid. Isn't that amazing? Let me read that again. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They knew this man. Maybe, remember when we started? They had shackled him with chains. They knew this man. They said they heard him every day and night running through the cemetery, cutting himself with stones, making all sorts of noises and screams, I'm sure, scaring everybody and chasing everybody. And now they see this man, they see him sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Imagine that for a minute, if you will. They saw this man. They saw the craziness. And all of a sudden, there he sits. And he's sitting with Jesus. And they were afraid. Afraid. Instead of saying, wow, what happened? Did you do that? What is this man that did this? And asking about it and being excited about it and being so in awe of what Jesus did, because they knew this man, they knew his story. But yet they saw him like that and they were afraid. Just like the world is afraid to come to the Bible. They think there's things in here that will hurt them. They think there's things in here that will put them in slavery, in bondage. They think there's rules and regulations that will change their life. They're afraid to come to God because they're afraid he's going to take something from them. Somehow they're going to have to change whatever it is they're holding on to that means so much to them that they're afraid. They're afraid to see the good in God. They see people going to church. They see people rejoicing. They see miracles happening. They see good things happening. And they're afraid. They'd rather reject God and stay in their same place and stay in their fear and stay in their own life than come to God because they're afraid God will take something from them instead of adding. Understand that. The whole world is like that today. People are afraid to talk about God because it will offend somebody. Imagine giving somebody good news that's offensive. I don't get it. Maybe somebody can explain it, but I don't get it. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to go away. It says to depart from their region. Imagine that. No different than today. They began to plead with God to please get out of here. Look at what you did. Look at our swine. Look at you need to leave. We don't want any good news. We don't want any blessings. We don't want anything from you. Today's people plead the same thing. Please leave. Oh, don't pray about stuff. That's never going to work. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about the Bible. I know what's in the Bible. I know one scripture, so I know everything in the Bible. I'll tell you, sometimes you get so aggravated when you see people preaching and people talking to you and they use one scripture. Amen? They call this one scripture. How can somebody who's a Christian believe that? Well, what do you know about being a Christian? Well, I don't know. But how can a Christian believe that? Maybe you ought to learn what's in here, because everything in here is so wonderful. Hallelujah. They asked him to go away. Leave us alone, God. We don't need you. We don't want you. You just took all that those pigs. Instead of asking, what can we do to have better life? No, get out, leave. They began to plead with him. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, I love this. Ready? Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. He's saying, go home and tell your friends. And he calls himself the Lord. You might read that over and over again. You might miss that one word, that Jesus is referring to himself as the Lord, as he should. A lot of people wanted him to, but he didn't want to do that yet. Yet here he is talking to this one man. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what a great thing the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all the things Jesus had done for him. And they marveled. Some actually believed. They marveled at what that could be. Hallelujah. He departed. Now, anybody remember, there was a woman in the Bible, her name was Mary Magdalene. Remember the story of Mary. She had how many? 7 demons. When she met Jesus, she was possessed by how many? 7 demons. And Jesus took those demons and removed them from her. And she wanted to nothing more than what? To be with him every minute of every day of the rest of her life. She understood what he did for her. She understood the torment, and she understood the joy and the peace that she had, and she desired so much to be, and she was with him. Now, this man was the same way. He just felt like he wanted to be with him. And Jesus, in the most beautiful way, let me read that again, because to me it's just one of the most beautiful things he says. He says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Who better can he send? What better man can Jesus send to the Decapolis, to the 10 cities that were united together? What miracle could he have done other than this? Because this man was known throughout. He was known by everybody. They knew the problems with the troubles this man had. So who greater could Jesus have sent to heal this land? Imagine that. This one man would go back home and they would see him. And maybe they would have been scared at first. But he'll say, what happened to you? What happened? He said, I want to tell you the great things the Lord has done for me. And how he had compassion on me. This Lord can have compassion on you. This Lord will do great things for you. There's no need to worry when things come against you. There's no need to worry when the storms come. There's no need to worry about things, because God will have compassion. God will heal us. God will lead us. God will give us strength when we think we don't have any strength. But imagine the power that one man had when he went back to that civilization and they saw him. And they saw that he was healed. And they marveled at everything that he was saying to them. Some believed. I think this story today is no different than what we read in our psalm and what we read in our responsive reading. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of all the hills are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. The hands formed the dry land. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Greater is he that is in you, that is in this world. To just have that faith. That faith is the first seed that starts the healing. Takes the fear away. Takes the worry away. We all have things that we're thinking about, things that we're looking ahead for, and we need God's guidance and God's strength to get us through it. You want greater things in your life? Find this Bible. Find God. Find the Word. Find the wisdom. You want different things in your life? Find the Bible. Find the Word. Find wisdom. Search it. Seek it from God. Because everything you have up until this point that you made with your hands, God bless you. You've made it with your hands. But don't you want more? Don't we always want more? We always want more. There's never enough. We can never have enough. But what God says, I'm going to supply all you need. If he said that, we need to believe it. He said that I will be with you. I will be over you. I will love you. I will keep you. I will treasure you. I will love you. Those are the greatest gifts from Jesus, from God. He walked on this earth so that we could see this, we could hear this, we could read this. From Jesus, our God, the good news, the great news, the gospels from the Bible. If you want more in your life, if you're happy with where you are today but you want more, God will show you a way. He will lead you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. God has a way for greater things. He will use opportunities to bring great things in your life. He will use the bad to bring good. If something happens to you, he'll show you that I can make good out of that. God can make good out of that. If one thing God can do, forgive me, but let me just say this, one thing that this virus can show us in this nation is we should never let another nation make our medication. If that's one thing that the God can help us with and that we can see that we should never let that happen, how many think that that's a good thing? I think it's a great thing. I think it's a good thing for this nation to know. We need to not depend on another nation for our medication, for the thing that heal our bodies when we need the medicine, for our elderly. But God's right there. Right there. We need to stay with him. We need to walk with him. We need to tell others what you need to tell your children, your grandchildren. Any chance you get to share this word, this is the power. This is your power. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything that comes against us because God is with us. Give him praise, church. If you didn't believe in Jesus, we wouldn't do the Lord's Supper. If we didn't trust in Jesus, we wouldn't be able to remember what he did for us on that cross. It's crazy. Because everything he did on the cross was for us. For our salvation. For every hope that we have, every dream that we have, every wish that we have. He's sitting at the right hand of his Father to sit there for us. To be our attorney. To be right there using his name for what he did for us on that cross. And he just says, Second Congregational, this morning, do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Now, Dan's not here to play any music, so I'll just let you pray for a minute. Talk to God. Let him in. But don't be afraid. Fascinating to me, the more I read the Word of God, when God does something, the people are afraid. Every time God does something good, they become afraid. Healing on the Sabbath, and they're afraid. All these things that he does for us. Let's not be afraid. Let's rejoice. Let's know that he is our God, and he is our Jesus who loves us. And do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Forgive us this morning, Lord, for our iniquities of this week, for our doubts, for our worries, for anything we did that pulled us away from you. Cleanse us, Lord, from our thoughts and our deeds so that we can receive the sacrament of your blood, Lord. We can receive this today as you asked us to do in remembrance of you, as you blessed the wine and poured it into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." Let us receive this symbol of your blood, Lord, for our healing in Jesus' name. Heal our land, Lord. Keep us safe. Heal our people. We pray to you, Father. Millions of Christians across the world are praying to you today, Lord. Hear our prayer this morning. Yeah. Jesus is the name above all names, the greatest name. He is our hope. He is everything to me. He is my all in all. It's the greatest news we can share this morning in this time of trouble in the world. We talk about Jesus. And we do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Thank you, Lord. Go home and tell the people what the Lord has done for you. Go home and tell the people what the Lord has done for you, that he showed compassion on you. He shows it on us every day. Be strong enough to share it. Be bold enough to share it. Let the world know the compassion that God has shown on you. Let the peace rise from your body and peace rise from your spirit. And let that peace rise and let people say, "What is it that you have that I don't have?" And you just say, "It's Jesus." That simple. That beautiful word. That Bible, that book. Full of hope. Full of joy. Full of wonder. Full of the awesomeness of God. The awesomeness of God. His touch on his children. Believe this morning. For whatever it is you're praying for, believe that you received it this morning. Act and claim it that you received it this morning. Believe it and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for my answered prayer." Even though you might not see the answer right now, thank him for the answer. For when the prayer comes and you are answered, you'll forget to say thank you because you'll be so excited and rejoicing. So thank him now. That's faith. Saying, "Lord, I see it. We see it, Lord. We see it. We believe it, Lord. We ask for healing. We ask for you, Lord, in Jesus' name." In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church. Let our Lord hear our prayers this morning. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. Amen. You came to church today. You came to God's house today to hear something about God. So you receive something of Jesus. Go back and read that story again. It's a wonderful story. It tells you so many things about life and God and his love and his compassion. And it tells you that greater is he who is in you than is in this world. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, because God is inside of you. Hallelujah. What wonderful things.